lovely to see everyone this morning. Sorry that it's not brighter weather. We're saying that spring seems to have passed us by. And how quickly spring has gone for these guys, because it's their last Sunday today. So they are actually going to be taking the service this morning. And it's also a time of communion. Okay, so this evening is going to be Alpha. It's our penultimate one, is that the word? Because next week is our last Alpha.
As Sam said, the students are going to be doing most of the service today, so I'm just doing a little introduction and then I'm going to go and get out of the way. So, let's pray, shall we? Yeah, Father, it's good to gather together, to have fellowship with one another, and especially to meet with you, Lord. And so we ask now that as we turn our thoughts to you, Father, that you would teach us, that you would inspire us, that you would strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Father, how much we need you. How much we need you, and how much do you promise to give of yourself to us through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Father. You are so special. Amen.
Okay, the reading is from Joshua chapter 7, verse 10, and that's 221 in the Church Bibles. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up! What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you any more unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord chooses shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord chooses shall come forward family by family. And the family that the Lord chooses shall come forward man by man. Whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua made Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He made the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua made his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honour him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I know that the first time when we hear that text, it seems a bit heavy, but bear with me, it is a very hopeful story and an encouraging one. We were reading Joshua in our lectures, and once we dove into the text, I was very encouraged about what it teaches us. A bit about the context that this story is. The Israelites have just passed the Jordan. They've defeated Jericho, and the next invasion is ahead. So all seems to be going really well. They've just experienced the miraculous invasion of Jericho, and I'm sure they were full of joy to head on to the next part of this journey. But as we see in this part, they are defeated at Ai. They go out to spy this place, and the spies come back and tell Joshua that they need not send all the Israelites. It's a small city. So to me, it seems like they felt they were invincible, and they were trying to rely on their own strength. And I think that's a dangerous place to stand. And I myself have been in that place many times, I think. I've thought I can handle it all by myself. One example was a relationship that I was in, and I was always quite arrogant looking at other couples that weren't going on so well, and I thought, if I just rely on my own strength and just pull myself together, nothing can go wrong. And I was proven wrong that that's not the case, that my own strength is not enough, that I need God's grace. And when we read in the text, in the first verse, we see that God asks Joshua, "Why have you fallen on your face? Get up. Israel has sinned." And after this, I found this relationship, I found myself going to God and asking him why it hadn't worked out, why that he'd let me down. And I feel like this links that God was telling me, "Why are you complaining? It was your own choice to go into this unhealthy relationship, even though people have warned me about it." And I think sometimes we found ourselves questioning God and questioning his goodness, but not realizing that maybe it's something that we have done ourselves. And I don't know about you, but if we read the verses earlier in chapter 7, in verse 7, Joshua is talking to the Lord and he says, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan." And to me this sounds very similar to the voices of the Israelites complaining in the desert that they wanted to go back to Egypt, to not be content with where God has put us right now and to trust in him. As we read on in verses 13, God also tells the Israelites to get up, to concentrate, consecrate themselves, and be ready for him.
the next day, and he calls them tribe by tribe to come before the Lord. And as I was reading this, I asked myself, why didn't Achan just come forward straight away? I imagine a whole nation of Israel coming by tribe. It's not going to take just a few minutes. It would have probably taken the whole day, if not longer. But Achan just waited till the very end, where it was basically obvious that he was the chosen one and that he had committed a sin. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but I often act in that way when I've done a mistake and I know I maybe should go up to someone and ask for forgiveness. I leave it to the very end. I maybe start to rationalize it, and I don't want to admit I'm wrong and leave it until there's no other option to go. And we see in the text that it was something that Achan had done that God had told them not to do. And I feel like sometimes we have the need to take matters in our own hand instead of trusting God. God said no, not to take the spoil of this city. And Achan saw the cloak and he saw the silver and gold and he wanted it right now. He wasn't trusting in God that he would provide later on. And if we read on in the text in chapter 8 in verse 2, it says, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves." So we see later on, God actually allows the people to take the plunder. And sometimes we might think that God is withholding things from us at present. And we might think, I need to have this now, and we don't trust in him. And in Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says that faith that is firm is also patient. And I hope that I can take that for myself, that in those moments when I don't have something that I want, that I can trust the Lord, that he doesn't want to withhold something from me, but that he will provide, and he does provide. As we read on in the text in the verse 22, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord." And I think this is something that we too need to do. If we have sinned or done something wrong, we need to come clean with it. We need to come before God in honesty and tell him what we've done. And in 1 John 1:9, we see that this is something that God calls us to do. "If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful, just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness." So Achan had a choice to admit his sin, but he waited until there was no other option. But this verse shows us that if we freely admit, so out of our own, and not if we are forced to do it per se. And then when we read on in the last verse, we see that his whole family and him were stoned. And I don't know about you, but when I read this, I thought it was a very harsh judgment out of my own opinion. And it left me with mixed feelings about all of it. But in the last verse, we read that, "Then the Lord turned from his burning anger, and therefore to this day the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor." And God turned from his anger straight away, so his forgiveness is not gradual. He doesn't put us on probation. When we're forgiven, we're forgiven. And it's interesting that they call the place the Valley of Achor. And Achor means trouble or disturbance in Hebrew. And if we turn to Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. I don't know what number that is in your Bible. But I'd like to read you the verses 14 to 15.
Hosea 2? 901.
Thank you. So in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And this verse speaks about Hosea and his adulterous wife. And God gives Hosea a message that he should tell the Israelites. And first, when we read this, we can see that God tells her to bring her into the wilderness. So my first thought was, what will happen? Will there be more judgment, more destruction? But no, God says that he speaks tenderly to her, and he will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. So this valley of trouble and disturbance, God will turn into a door of hope. And I think we've all experienced these valleys of Achor, maybe through bad choices that we have done, that we've regretted, or maybe it was bad choices other people did, and those affected us, and we were hurt, and it was painful. But I think the question this is asking us, are we willing to move on from these valleys? Or are we lingering in them and maybe being bitter or turning away from God? So the question I ask myself, what is needed to get out of a valley of Achor? As we've heard, one thing is repentance. So are we going to trust God that he is able to turn these valleys into a door of hope? And in Romans 8, verse 28, God tells us the following. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. Do we believe this in our lives, that God can do that, that he can work all things for good, even if they might not seem like it at the first moment? And in Genesis 45, verse 45, we see that Joseph is meeting with his brothers, those brothers that sold him into slavery, and he says the following to them. Now do not be upset or blame yourselves because you sold me here. It was really God who sent me ahead of you to save people's lives. You wove evil against me, but God rewove it together for good. And I think those are such incredible words that Joseph says to the people that sold him into slavery. He could have just judged them or not even helped them, but he actually sees it that God was in this all along and that God rewove it all together for good. And I think this is such a great assurance that God reweaves my mess that I've done or the bad choices I've made into a beautiful new tapestry if I am willing to present it in front of him and let him do the weaving and not try to figure out the knots by myself. So Achan was dissatisfied. He was not content with what he had. He looked for something more. And the question is, can I be content in every situation? And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, we read the following. I know how to be in need and live humbly, and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret, so that anywhere and at any time I am content. So the question is, what is this secret that he has? And if we read on in the next verse, he says, I have the strength for all things in Christ. So it's not me that has to struggle and pull myself together to be content in every situation. It's Christ that gives me that strength. And Christ is this door of hope in my life. I can only walk through it. I don't have to be anything else. And I think the verse in John 10:9 shows this really beautifully. It says, I am the door, and anyone who enters in through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out freely, and he will find pasture. And this to me was so encouraging when I was reading it, too, because I often tend to rely on my own strength or try to be strong myself, but this just shows me I don't need to be strong myself. It's just like Barbara said, we can trust in God, and he is the one that will give us new green pastures that we can go on and that we can rest in. Yeah. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these words that we can learn from a story that at first might not seem like a nice, encouraging story, but with you, we can just trust that you work all things for the good in our lives. And God, I don't know what each one of us is going through right now, but I'm sure we've all experienced painful things or troubling things. But I just thank you that even in those situations, you are above it all, and that we can just hold on to you, Jesus Christ, that we can hold on to our door of hope and know that in you we have everything we need. Thank you. And in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.